Good afternoon, everyone. Hi. Welcome to the CBT lunch. I know we have some CBT members here and perhaps other allies in the cardiology world as well. My name is Jillian Lung. I'm a cardiology pharmacist. And today I'm honored to be joined by Representative Kim Mosier to share with us her story today. So before we start, I'd like to see who all are in the audience. By a show of hands, if you're a cardiac nurse, can you put raise your hand? Any cardiologists? A lot of cardiologists. Welcome to the CVT lunch and supporting the CVT members. Any pharmacists? One. Any imaging technologists? Physical therapists? Respiratory therapists? Echo? Dietitians? Did I miss anyone? All right, thank you so much for your participation today. Without further ado, I'll introduce you to our honored guest today. Representative Kimberly Mosier is a retired neonatal ICU and flight nurse, and she's been serving the Kentucky House District 64, which is Campbell and Kenton County, as the Kentucky State Representative since 2017. She is a member of many, many House session standing committees, but I'll just point out things that are most, I guess, important to us, and most prominently being the chair of the Health and Family Services Committee. And that focuses on the delivery of health services, support of dependents, public assistance, child and family welfare, adoption, aids to the disadvantaged, mental health, substance use disorders, medical professional scholarships that some of us might have benefited from, health professions, and other areas that really pertains to our audience today, as well as the communities that we serve. Representative Mosier has also received many, many awards during her tenure at the Kentucky House of Representatives so far, including but not limited to the AMA Bell Chanute Award in 2015, the KMA Leadership Award in 2017, Kentucky Coalition of Nurse Practitioner and Nurse Midwives Outstanding Advocacy Award in 2017, the KMESA Legislator of the Year in 2019, etc. Her training and experience in nursing provided her with firsthand insights. Representative Mosier has sponsored legislation that targets healthcare that impacts our community, promotes job creation, and supports local businesses and schools. One of the legislations that specifically pertains to our group today, which actually would resonate what we heard from Dr. Gulati this morning, is an act relating to heart attack response and treatment. That's House Bill 512. This afternoon, we're excited and honored to have her join us to share her journey from nursing to being a policymaker and guide us on how to advocate for our patients during our day-to-day practice and beyond. Welcome, Representative Mosier.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks. It's really great to be with everyone today. We're trying to adjust these microphones. I'm not sure how close to get. I can go, you know, maybe through my journey a little bit, if that's interesting to everyone. A little bit about my background. I had my BSN in nursing. I also did some graduate work in architecture, which doesn't really seem to mesh, but I did hospital design, so it kind of does. My family history, I've been married 37 years to a pulmonologist and critical care doc. He also does sleep disorders. And so we've had a long journey in the medical community. I grew up in a medical home. My father was a family practitioner. My mother was a nurse. My father also got into policy work. He served as the Secretary of Transportation under a governor in the 80s. And so I was not unfamiliar with the political process and kind of that world. My husband and I have five grown sons, and three grandchildren. And so I stay busy with that. Two of our sons, one is a biomedical engineer and another is a psychiatrist. So, and then we've got business folks and a budding lawyer. And he will not be doing medical legal work, so we'll make sure of that. Anyway, so that's a little bit about my background. I worked as a neonatal intensive care nurse and flight. I did neonatal transport for the University of Kentucky. I also worked on an ECMO team at Children's Hospital in Cincinnati, and so basically followed my husband around during his training, but got a lot of great experience in the meantime. And really, my healthcare background, my family's interest in medicine, my own journey through medicine really sparked my interest in medical legislative policy. And so I did a lot of medical legislative education for the Kentucky Medical Association, as you heard. I served as the Kentucky Medical Association Alliance president, state president, did some local work in medical legislative education as well. And I also served as I was elected to chair the Kentucky Physicians Political Action Committee as the first non-physician nationally to serve in that role. I also served as the American Medical Association Alliance president in 2017-2018. And so I really have worked on a local and a state and national level in terms of medical policy, medical legislative policy. I think it's really given me a good background, and certainly I was not unfamiliar with politics and the political world, but I really never saw myself here. And so things happen, you know, you gain leadership skills and more exposure and doors open, and you either walk through them or you don't. And I decided to use my background and my experience in understanding medical policy to further the work that I did. In 2014, I joined a team just locally, and it was a voluntary position to get a better understanding of the drug problem that we had and the addiction issue that we had in Northern Kentucky. And certainly it led to my understanding of the issue on a state and a national level as well. It was, again, a voluntary position as the legislative liaison for the Heroin Impact Task Force. It led to passing some pretty substantial legislation with friends of mine, because I worked on their campaigns. I was not elected. And so I was very happy doing kind of behind-the-scenes work. And I just got more and more interested in this topic. We ended up advocating and working on some really good policy that passed and increased resources for the addiction population. After that, our three judge executives in Boone, Kenton, and Campbell came to me and asked me to help them implement the policies that we had put in place or passed in legislation. I kind of said, what does that look like? And we ended up founding the Office of Drug Control Policy in Northern Kentucky. And so I served as the executive director for about 5 years. I worked with, again, local, state, and national policymakers on things like bringing high-intensity drug trafficking area funding to Northern Kentucky. I put treatment in jails. We established a quick response team. So we were able to really work on policy on a local level. And all the while, you know, I was just plodding away, working on this, and my predecessor in this seat, State Representative Tom Kerr, decided to retire, and he asked me if I would run. And so that's kind of how this happened. I really was not planning on doing this, but it is an excellent fit. I love what I'm doing. I love policymaking. I love getting in the weeds and really working on policies that are important to all of you. Whether you know it or not, we are, fortunately, there are a few of us in the legislature. There are 138 of us, 100 House members, and 38 Senate members. And I would say probably only we have two physicians in the Senate, and I think I'm the only nurse now. So there, and there
is an audiologist. There are a couple of pharmacists, but very, very few people in the legislature who have any sort of medical background. And so I think that's important for you to know and to understand when you're talking to legislators. And you know, I know that we're going to talk about advocacy in a little bit, but getting to know your legislators and understanding what their background is really important. And knowing that you are the expert in your field is really important to convey to your legislator in a partnership kind of way. I mean, you know, I think that they're all trying to do the best that they can, but, you know, their background may be banking or farming, and, you know, really need, they may need a lot of patient educating on some of these topics. But I have a great counterpart in the Senate, Dr. Ralph Alvarado. He chairs the Senate Health and Welfare. I chair the House. And we are a formidable team when it comes to passing medical legislation. We understand it. We don't take any crap from insurance folks. We are strong in our understanding of PBM reforms and pharmacy issues. And so, you know, it's and it's not without constant learning. I mean, I'm learning things all the time. But I was kind of thrown in when I was first elected. I was appointed Medicaid Oversight Chair. And I said, me? I really knew very little about Medicaid, but it was a steep learning curve. And you start meeting with folks who are experts and learning a lot. And you have to talk to folks on both sides of any issue, because, you know, you don't want someone's propaganda or spin. You want the real story. And so that's really how you get good policy. So that's really my journey. I love working with all of my healthcare providers. Obviously, I'm lobbied in my own kitchen by my husband, and he just finished his year as KMA president, and so he's very active in organized medicine as well. So, you know, that's my background. Just know that you can reach out to me when you need to.
We'll be sure to reach out to you if we have any issues. Representative Mosier has been really open to ideas, including when we were talking about some of the issues that happened and during our talk at dinner yesterday. So we're privileged to have you serve as a policymaker locally to advocate for the patients that we care. I know you co-sponsored the House Bill 512, and you talked kind of extensively about it to a small, intimate group yesterday. A lot of folks didn't have the privilege to listen to you talk yesterday. So I wonder if you could elaborate, maybe give us a quick summary of what that guideline is.
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to. House Bill 512 was a piece of legislation that passed last year. And what this does is establishes heart attack response and treatment levels of designation in the state. And this is, it really mimics what's in place for levels 1, 2, and 3 cardiac or heart attack response as outlined by the Joint Commission and other national guideline-based organizations. And so the Department of Public Health, I mean, I've got the bill here, so I can actually just read the very beginning, because I think it outlines what we were trying to achieve pretty well. The department shall establish and implement a plan for achieving continuous quality improvement in the quality of care provided under a statewide system for heart attack response and treatment by designating licensed hospitals as level 1 comprehensive cardiac centers, level 2 primary heart attack centers, or level 3 acute heart attack ready centers. And we've seen that after we passed legislation similar to this for strokes and stroke centers in 2008, we went from having 6 stroke ready centers to, I think it was 41 in a short amount of time. And we anticipate the same happening just by creating or recognizing those standards of care in Kentucky for heart attack response. We think that it's really important when you, the practitioner, and facilities who are the facilitators of all the work that you can do are in alignment with and in communication with the emergency medical response team. And so there are provisions in the bill that require that the, it says levels 1, 2, and 3 hospitals are encouraged to coordinate through a coordinating heart attack care agreement within their service area to provide appropriate access to care for heart attack patients. A coordinating heart attack care agreement shall be in writing and include at a minimum, and it talks about transfer protocols for, you know, obviously for the transport or transfer of individuals who need this level of care, and talks about the communication criteria and the protocols that are included but not limited to telemedicine. And so, you know, I think that we are trying to do a better job of establishing protocols in Kentucky to ensure that patients know where to go, that emergency medical response teams are in better communication with their cardiac teams and the cardiology community, really. So that was the gist of the bill. The levels of care and levels of designation are set by, as I said, the national accrediting bodies, not by the state, but the state recognizes these and will further help to streamline the communication between the emergency medical response and making sure that folks understand the protocols. And we just think that this is really something that will ensure that patients get the care that they need. So that's it in a nutshell. I'm happy to answer questions if people have questions. It's kind of a starting point for establishing levels of care for cardiac response in Kentucky. And I know that we have other states who have worked on this for longer than us, and we never really want to reinvent the wheel. If we know about something great that's happening in another state, I think that, you know, it makes complete sense to look at their guidelines and protocols.
That's great. That really echoes what Dr. Gulati was telling us this morning for the 2021 chest pain guideline, where we want to seek early care for acute symptoms mm-hmm. as soon as possible for our patients. And hopefully this guideline can help guide and facilitate communication between EMS and our practitioners, both in the emergency departments as well as the cardiac community, to help our patients save their heart muscles.
Right.
In the interest of time, does anyone have any questions for Representative Mosier? We're lucky to have her here. And if you have any questions, here's your chance.
And just know that, you know, I have a pretty open door policy. It's not hard to find me. It's on the LRC website. So, and you can actually visit the website if you're interested and see kind of the or my own personal website and see the links to other healthcare policies that I've worked on. You know, a lot of this, you know, when we're talking about this bill, we understand that there are barriers in other areas that we need to correct. And one of those pieces of legislation last year, House Bill 777, dealt with emergency medical transport. Our transport times in Kentucky were slow, and it was unacceptable. There were cities and counties who didn't have any transport, and so we worked on that. And you know, it's interesting. I said last night, this House Bill 512 was a really easy piece of legislation to pass because I think, well, for a lot of reasons, I think that legislators understand the need for getting immediate care, but they also trust the members of the legislature who were working on this to make sure that we're getting it right. And so, you know, there's value in that too, in having someone like myself and Dr. Alvarado, Dr. Don Douglas now in the Senate, working on some of these issues in partnership with you. And so I would just really encourage you to get to know your legislator. If they aren't healthcare related, if they don't have a healthcare related background, just, you know, gently educate them and ask them to reach out to you when they have questions, when they are working on policies that they need to better understand, and then understand the process as well. I said this last night too, and I kind of did this when I was CAPAC chair, because I was a non-physician working with a room full of really smart people and doctors, and I said, I know that you are used to writing an order, and it is carried out almost immediately, but the legislative process is not that way. And unfortunately, things are slow. Sometimes we will propose a piece of legislation and it takes 2 or 3 years to pass. And it's really that educational process and understanding, you know, that we have 138 people to convince that something is a good idea. And, you know, when I was talking a little bit about House Bill 777, you know, people crawl out of the woodwork to oppose your bills. And you get arguments that you never thought you would ever hear. I passed a piece of legislation to ban tobacco in schools. And I thought, oh, this is a no-brainer. Everyone's going to be on board. And I had opposition. I actually had to put an opt-out clause in the legislation to get it to pass. So as crazy as that sounds, it happens. People hang on to they're hearing from friends in their industry, and so they have a completely different take. So that was probably the most eye-opening part of joining the legislature, is really understanding how diverse and different our various regions of the state are. So, you know, just know that it takes a while to pass legislation, understanding the process, understanding if you're following a bill, where it is in committee, who the members are on the committee. Those are the people that you want to reach out to first. And I think it would be it's always a good idea for us to hear from you on a regular basis and not just once a year. It's helpful if you have some legislative priorities to let us know about that. Let us know about that before session. It's too late to draft legislation once we're in a short session. We have a 30-day session and a 60-day session, and I've been drafting legislation all summer. So it's not just January through April when we're in session that we're working. And you don't want to come with your ideas then. You want to flesh them out ahead of time. And just having patience with all of us as we kind of get up to speed. We're not all at the same level of education on cardiology, certainly. So, you know, those are a few pointers that I think are helpful when you're advocating for your policies.
Thank you so much. You answered all of my questions without me asking them. Well, thank you so much, Representative Mosier, for joining us this afternoon. We're lucky that you're advocating for us and for our community in the forefront, making great policies that help us improve the health of Kentuckians. Thank you again.
Thank you.